WEZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Thousands of federal workers furloughed as the government shutdown continues. The White House says layoffs could be imminent. ABC's Karen Travers has more.
The president in a social media post said he was going to be looking at Democrat agencies. And I asked Caroline what departments, programs, agencies are on the table for consideration to be cut. And also, what did they mean by Democrat agencies? She did not get into specifics, but she did say that they're looking at agencies that, quote, don't align with the administration's values that they feel are a waste of taxpayer dollars.
The UK says two people are dead after a car ramming and knife attack at a Jewish synagogue in Manchester. The suspect is also dead. Three people are in custody. Sean Diddy Combs due in court tomorrow for sentencing on two prostitution-related charges. The hip-hop mogul today sending a letter to the judge saying he takes full responsibility and accountability for his actions and apologized to his victims, asking the judge for mercy. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinee on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. A bipartisan group of state lawmakers have introduced new legislation seeking to create a statewide registry for Parkinson's disease. The registry would be established through the Department of Population Health Sciences at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and include annual reports on the prevalence of the neurological disease. The hope is increased tracking of Parkinson's could help researchers identify potential contributing factors like environmental conditions. Parkinson's is the second most common neurological disease after Alzheimer's. A proposed bill seeking to crack down on people falsely misrepresenting their pets as service animals was heard in a state assembly committee this week. The legislation would implement a $500 fine for providing false documentation to obtain a service animal. It could also fine healthcare providers who prescribe an emotional support animal to patients who have been in their care for less than 30 days. Critics of the legislation say enforcing the law would be especially challenging due to concerns over legal troubles with privacy. With the contested case hearing for Enbridge Energy's Line 5 pipeline relocation project set to wrap up this week, DNR officials say the company exceeded environmental standards for the issued permits. Tribal officials and conservation activists challenged those permits, arguing the relocation still puts area wetlands at risk in case of an oil spill. Earlier this week, DNR staff argued the company had met or exceeded all of the best management practices associated with the plan, including over 200 permit conditions issued by the agency. Another candidate has entered the 7th Congressional District field following Congressman Tom Tiffany's decision to run for governor. Former Wisconsin State Legislator Fred Clark officially launched his campaign for the seat on Wednesday. In his announcement, Clark highlighted his experience as a rural legislator and conservation leader and plans to focus on rebuilding the rural economy, expanding healthcare access, and protecting farms and forests. Jesse Eben is still the only Republican candidate to announce a run for the seat thus far. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
More green for green. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks training camp is underway. General manager John Horst was asked if he would confirm they're working on a new contract extension for AJ Green.
First of all, yes, he's extension eligible. He is all season. Had a lot of conversations with AJ and his agent. Good conversations. We'd love to have AJ with us, you know, for a long time. And we're able to work on that. We are working on that. No one works harder than AJ, high character individual, but I think he's really worked to earn that opportunity to be a high-level rotation guy for us. And, we're having the conversations, and I hope we're able to figure something out.
NFL, the Packers' bye week continues. Matt LaFleur asked if he thinks he'll have left guard Aaron Banks or right tackle Zach Tom back from injuries when they host the Cincinnati Bengals next week.
We'll see. I don't know. I think it's still, we're a ways out from that, so we'll have a better indication, I would say, Monday.
That's Matt LaFleur with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home to the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A slight storm chance tonight, otherwise a partly cloudy sky and a low in the upper 50s. Mostly sunny and heating up into the mid-80s tomorrow. Sunny, breezy, and mid-80s again Saturday, and right around 80 Sunday, then cooler next week. Right now it's 80.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman Program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local civic media radio station.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local civic media radio station.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, have you ever played a video game or seen an ad that says, "Play our game, we'll give you money"? Lisa Schiller from the Better Business Bureau joins us to talk about whether or not that's true.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
They wish to break the entire thing. That is the objective. It isn't about efficiency. It's about breaking it. And it's about breaking it for what end?
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Gerrymandering is bad for everybody.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I'm grossly discouraged, and I have given up on any justice in our system. It doesn't exist anymore.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. It is Civic Media's Go for the Green and Gold Multi-State Text to Win Contest. We are in the second to last day, rounding out 2 weeks of this fun time for each and every one of you. Each day we give away one of two daily prizes, $200 in cold hard cash or gold jewelry. And when you text in the word that I'm about to give you right now via the Civic Media app, you'll also be entered to win our one grand prize, which is two indoor club level tickets to watch Green Bay play Minnesota on November 23rd. That's a noon start game. As well as a gas card to get you there and back, a $1,500 plus value. Folks, download that app for free wherever you get your apps from right now. Just look for Civic Media, search for Civic Media, and here is the word to get entered to win right now. You will certainly be cozy, C-O-Z-Y, cozy, when you win those two club-level indoor seats for the Green Bay-Minnesota game in November. Good luck to one and all. Hopefully you can be a winner like Dave in Kenosha listening on RJN, Angie from Hammond tuning in on WSCM, or Tom in Spring Green listen to WRCO. One other bit of programming notes. Yesterday, if you listened to my program, I spent the entire 5 o'clock hour breaking down the rhetorical tricks, the propagandist tricks of Charlie Kirk, but more broadly, the MAGA movement writ large. And I wanted to be sure that I thanked and acknowledged the sources from which I got a lot of that analysis and a lot of the sound. I mentioned Jeremy Andrew Davis. He has studied rhetoric and propaganda throughout modern history. I pulled a lot of the analysis of the Black Pilots discussion from a YouTube post that he made. That link will be available in our show notes. Also, New York Times reporters Ken Bensinger and Charlie Smart, their article of September 27th, The Debate Style That Propelled Charlie Kirk's Movement, as well as Dr. Julius Doyle, who helped with the sound and the analysis of the Dunning-Kruger effect and how it applies to Kirk and basically almost the entirety of the MAGA movement in general. So with those programming notes completed, and again, good luck to everyone with the Civic Media Multi-State Green and Gold Text to Win Contest. I am very privileged to introduce to all of you and to bring onto the show for the first time, Laura Dresser. She is a labor economist and expert on low-wage work and workforce development systems. She's the associate director at High Road Strategy Center. They just published The State of Working Wisconsin. We'll put the link to this incredibly important report in our show notes from today. Let's talk about working folks in Wisconsin. Laura, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me here.
I really appreciate this reporting that you and your organization do. You've put out this annual report since 1996. It was released originally on Labor Day to honor working people in Wisconsin. Give us just the high level. There are some positive indicators and there are some big flashing warning lights here in Wisconsin. Let's start on the upside. There's so much dark news these days, but let's start on the upside. What's looking good in Wisconsin?
Let me give some sunshine. Okay. So, you know, there's data that we look at each year, and there's been a strong economic recovery that was rooted in the pandemic, you know, that bounced back after the pandemic shutdowns. That's been a sustained period of economic growth, low unemployment rates still in the state of Wisconsin, hovering around 3%. That's great news for workers. They can bargain for more. That's like good news for the workers who are looking for work, but it's also good news for workers who hold jobs because they can make more of those jobs. There's evidence that they do that in the wages. Wages have reached a new high, inflation adjusted, of the median wage being $25 an hour in the state. That also is good news, but that's a 2024 piece of data. The wage data always comes with a little bit of a lag. And the third piece of good news is we have as many jobs in the state as we've ever had. You know, each one of these pieces of news even comes with their own downsides, their own internal downsides. But on a top level, from the pandemic shutdowns in 2020 to this current economy, we had sustained extended period of growth. And actually, it's the lower wage workers who made more of it, made more gains in wages. And that's something to celebrate.
Yeah, again, good positive indicators, top lines, again, very low unemployment, top level of record numbers of jobs in the state, a record high of an hourly wage of just a smidge, a penny over $25 an hour. That said, Laura, every single person listening knows a ton of people right now that are struggling, that aren't making anywhere near $25 an hour. We know people who may be fully employed who still can't get health care. We know that there have been sustained attacks on unions at both the national and especially here on the state level, courtesy of the MAGAs and Scott Walker here in Wisconsin. Tell us where the troubling economic indicators are here in the state of Wisconsin.
So right now, the biggest, most clear warning signs are at the national level on job growth. And if you want to be convinced that that job news is bad, you just look at Trump's response to it. The July and August jobs reports showed losses in 1 month and rejections down, and the reductions that kind of changes in estimates is really common at inflection points when it's hard to guess what's happening with the economy because it's changing. The trajectory is changing.
If I can just emphasize that for a point, folks, when you've got a general trajectory where the direction of the economy is fairly constant and moving in one direction, you may get a rate change, mean the direction stays constant, but how fast it's growing or shrinking may change. What Laura is explaining is that when you're seeing these job numbers revisions that are quite substantial, and I reported on those right at the top of the show today, of course, again, the revision for the August jobs number was plus 54,000. It's now revised down to minus 3,000. And the numbers for September just came in negative 32,000 when economists were expecting plus 51,000. When you're seeing things like this, as Laura pointed out, it means what you're seeing is the Trump administration basically tanking a growing economy, or at least substantially weakening it, such that employers are pulling back from hiring. Am I getting that right, Laura?
I think that's right. And I think there's no way to look at what Trump has been, that what the federal administration writ large has been doing in this economy. The chaos, just the uncertainty, take apart the kind of content of the tariff regime,
which who knows where they are of day to day, but that's the point, right?
The uncertainty of it puts employers back it has them waiting to see what is going to emerge. Then on top of it, you have a tariff policy that is obviously, a tariff is definitionally a tax on imports. That's what it is. And it raises prices the way taxes do. And so in preparation for or in actually implementing the new regime, depending on where we are and which country you're working with and whatever, employers see costs going up. Consumers see costs going up. That slows down the economy. The tariff is uncertainty and the tariffs are a wet blanket. Same with the incredible hostility to immigrants, which was so bad that employers from the hospitality, agriculture, and food service industries complained enough to Trump that they got a temporary reprieve. Of course, that was overturned a few days later.
Just to emphasize this, because it's so important here in the state of Wisconsin, right? You look at tourism, which means restaurant, bars, and taverns, and you look at agriculture here in the state of Wisconsin. Immigrant labor is essential in those workforces. Donald Trump said, oh, well, we won't have ICE scoop all those people up. That lasted for about a week and a half. Then he retracted that, and now they're scooping up dairy workers. We just had reporting, a week ago, that they scooped up a bunch of dairy workers. Laura, just to emphasize some of the data from your very report, Wisconsin's 300,000 immigrants make up 7% of the state's workforce and generate $23 billion in economic output. Immigrants make up, again, according to Kids Forward, 11% of Main Street business owners, 16% of physicians, 9% of construction workers, over 60% of manicurists and pedicurists, and 12% of the state's agricultural workforce. Sorry to interrupt, Laura. Please continue. Not at all.
No, it's just so important to see immigrants, to see what they're contributing, and to see this this broad attack as not just morally and morally problematic, but literally it slows the economy. It keeps people from hiring. It's leaving, produce in the fields and milk and cows. And so you have this simultaneous kind of and I think is what you said earlier, is there was a very strong economic recovery coming out of the pandemic recession. Now we have, I think what looks like we have on the horizon is inflationary pressures from tariffs and a dramatic slowdown from uncertainty and tariffs. And that's, I think that's the biggest wet blanket on this economy. I'm not, you'd have to be a lot smarter than I am to know we're entering recession soon or whatever, but it does look like things are slowing down.
Well, and as the Yale Budget Lab has pointed out, and this is just with partial data, half a year plus a smidge worth of data, the Donald Trump's tariff terror is costing families on average over $2,000, close to $2,500 per year. And we're hearing, if you're listening to CNBC or Fox Business, I don't care which one it is, the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, what we're seeing is businesses saying, we have not fully passed on the cost of tariffs. We've been trying to absorb much of that to keep our customers loyal to our brands. We've heard Walmart CEO in quarterly earnings calls saying, we're starting to pass more of these tariff costs on. So these numbers, this impact, the wet blanket, Laura, as you put it, we have not even seen the full impact of this uncertainty, this constriction in the labor force. And let's be clear, Laura, would it be fair to say that folks that are immigrants that are here work at very low wage rates? And if they are not available for labor, then labor will cost more and that will make prices go up.
That's a fair way to say it. So two inflationary pressures.
Folks, we're going to continue this important discussion about the state of Wisconsin's workforce with labor economist and an expert on low-wage work, Laura Dresser, Associate Director of the High Road Strategy Center. Don't go anywhere. We're going to come right back. Sneaking a quick break. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Big Fish Golf Club in Hayward is teeing it up with the Golf for the Green and Gold text to win on WBZH, the Buzz of the North. Say my name, Big G, and slice $20 off your next round, now through October 31st.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. September 16th, Maine and Oregon were the first to be sued by the Trump Department of Justice for refusing to provide voter data to be shared within federal agencies. Six more states have been sued, and it could be a good thing. September 25th, DOJ rolled out complaints for Pennsylvania, Michigan, California, Minnesota, New Hampshire, and New York. In August, Pennsylvania Secretary of State Al Schmidt, a Republican, told DOJ, "Your letter dated August 14 specifically asked for detailed personal and confidential information, including driver's license numbers and Social Security numbers, for all Pennsylvania voters. This request and reported efforts to collect broad data on millions of Americans represent a concerning attempt to expand the federal government's role in our country's electoral process," unquote. States have loudly reminded DOJ that the states and Congress are empowered by the U.S. Constitution for election oversight, not the federal government, and that the requests violate both state and federal privacy statutes. Writing in Election Law Blog, professor of law at LMU Loyola Law School, Justin Levitt, writes that the DOJ legal action could turn out to be a good thing. He said, "Now there will be federal judges carefully examining the claims that DOJ has made about its authority under specific statutes and truly putting them to the test." We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local civic media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free civic media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Welcome back, everybody, and welcome. If you're just joining us, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. And a little Paul Simon instrumental to calm us all down this fine Thursday afternoon. Folks, we are on the second to last day of Civic Media's Go for the Green and Gold multi-state text-to-win contest. You can get qualified to win daily prizes and a grand prize of two club indoor tickets to watch Green Bay play Minnesota on November 23rd at noon, plus a gas card to get you there and back, a $1,500 plus value. You got to text in the word that I'm about to give you via the Civic Media app. Don't do it the old-fashioned way, but download that app for free wherever you get your apps from. The word to get entered to win this hour until 6 p.m. is COZY, C-O-Z-Y, as in you're going to want to stay cozy this November if you go to those football games. And again, we've got two potential tickets for you, club level indoor, and you will be indeed cozy. C-O-Z-Y. Good luck to everyone. Full contesting rules available at civicmedia.us. I'm joined by labor economist and associate director of the High Road Strategy Center, Laura Dresser. We're talking about the state of the workforce here in Wisconsin. Laura, we've been talking about the fact that we're seeing indicators in the economy here in Wisconsin as well, that despite numerous years coming out of the pandemic of economic expansion, wage increases, increasing employment, i.e. lowering unemployment levels, that there are warning signs flashing across the economy and here in the state of Wisconsin. What's interesting to me is that your report, The State of Working Wisconsin, which we will provide a link to in our show notes today, you can find it at workingwi.org, that's workingwi.org, is that even though there are some bright signs in the economy, there is incredible disparity in the state of Wisconsin. Not everyone is experiencing the economy in the same way. Tell us a little bit about that. These disparities are showing up on a number of axes.
Yeah, the disparities happen a lot of ways, geographically. So there, you know, there's a lot of growth in and around Dane County. There's less growth, higher unemployment rates. Away from that is a kind of rough, you know, not perfect, but that's a lot, you know, kind of the bottom line on the growth thing. There's also a kind of explosion of low wage service jobs that just don't work for workers. And when I say that, I mean, they don't come with health insurance benefits. They don't, on pensions. They often don't even come with sick leave. This is the preponderance of jobs at the that are sort of accessible and available throughout the state tend to be these very low wage jobs. And while workers did a lot to make those jobs better, and we've seen wages at the bottom go up, it is still the case that those jobs don't provide health insurance, don't provide benefits, don't provide days off. Often workers in them are subject to different forms of harassment or even cheating by their employers. All that happens in the low-wage labor market. And I think that is a story that's just spread across the state, the struggle of trying to make things work in those sorts of jobs.
Including for small business owners that are struggling, including for the family farmers that are struggling to afford health insurance. And at the same time that we're seeing all of these incredible pressures, acute pressures being brought to bear on our lowest wage workers. We're talking about folks that are basically right on the poverty line or slightly above it that are working. You've got Republicans in Congress that are basically having taxpayers subsidize the biggest tax giveaway to 100 millionaires, billionaires, and mega corporations while cutting and making it harder to access the benefits, health care, essential food, emergency assistance that helps keep these low-wage workers afloat in times of even more economic strife. Given the downturn of the economy, boy, are we getting set up for a disaster here?
Yeah, I mean, I just, the structure of this latest, the One Big Beautiful Act bill or whatever.
One Big, I call it the Big Brutal Bill. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that one. The structure of that really is a redistributive, a broad redistributive sweep, delivering money to the top 1%, delivering the money to the elite and the billionaires. The Institute for Tax and Economic Policy, Taxation and Economic Policy in DC did an analysis of what the top 1% of earners in the state would get back from the federal government because of the tax reform, $70,000 a year. The bottom 20% of families will get $70 lower taxes. And then the cost of healthcare on the marketplace, the availability of Medicaid, the food service, the financial aid, all of these that support low wage working families go away.
Yeah, those numbers are important. ITEP did an analysis. Wisconsin's richest 1% will get a tax savings of approximately $70,000, which is a freaking rounding error to them. They won't even feel it. It doesn't make any difference. They're not going to reinvest the $70,000. It's just cash in hand. While the state's lowest 20% will only see a direct tax benefit of $70, while all of the rest of the stuff that they need to buy to live at even the most minimal level of human dignity will get more expensive. That is a net loss to the poorest and hardest working folks in our economy. It's a damn shame. Laura, will you come back with us and talk again when hopefully we've got some better news?
I will hope for better news, and I'd be delighted to talk whether the good news is bad or good. Yeah.
Thanks so much to Laura Dresser, Associate Director of High Road Strategy Center, a labor economist and expert on low-wage work and workforce development. Their annual report, The State of Working Wisconsin, is available. It is out there. You can get it at workingwi.org. We'll put the link also in our show notes. You can find those every day after our program concludes at civicmedia.us/shows. Just look for the Maggie Dawn Show. We'll have all of our sources and methods, if you will, posted there. When we come back, I talk about how the shutdown lies continue. It seems I can't find a single Republican. Oh, wait, I found one that actually spilled the beans. Don't go anywhere. That's all coming up next right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
The Buzz of the North, 96.9 WBZH. Hayward's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection are now accepting applications for the Food Security and Wisconsin Products Grant Program. The program seeks to provide funding for nonprofit food assistance organizations to purchase food from Wisconsin producers and processors. $10 million of funding was allocated to continue the program in the new biennial state budget. Applications to receive a portion of the $5 million in funding available this year will be accepted until November 5th. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection are sharing cybersecurity tips with residents in honor of Cybersecurity Awareness Month. State officials are recommending some actions residents can take to protect their personal data and avoid scams. Residents should use strong passwords and create different passwords for different accounts, use multi-factor authentication for additional security, update their software often to ensure they have the latest security patches, and identify and report any phishing scams they receive. One person was killed and two injured following a shooting near Candy Lane in Barron County on Wednesday afternoon. Sheriff's office officials say a male victim was pronounced deceased at the scene and a female victim was transported to the hospital. They also say the alleged suspect was taken to a medical facility due to an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. During the investigation, authorities also learned a graphic video of the shooting had been uploaded on Snapchat, which could have been seen by some school district of Turtle Lake students. Governor Tony Evers visited Ashland on Tuesday to highlight new legislation seeking to lower utility costs for Wisconsin residents this winter. The legislation went into effect on Wednesday, eliminating the sales tax on utilities for residents. Governor Evers also spoke with local representatives from West Cap on various ways to improve the energy efficiency and weatherization of homes as temperatures begin to drop. He says exploring all available federal, state, and local resources to lower energy bills is crucial for families at this time of year. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
After his recent suspension and then being put back on the air within a week, Jimmy Kimmel gave an emotional and hilarious monologue upon his return to Jimmy Kimmel Live. Not only was it highly rated on TV, Kimmel's monologue set a record on YouTube. The host's opening segment reached almost 18 million views on YouTube within 22 hours of being posted, making it the most watched monologue in the history of YouTube, according to Variety. A Wheel of Fortune contestant from Connecticut has won the biggest jackpot in the show's history at a little over $1 million. Christina Derevyanik told Ryan Seacrest that if she won the $1 million, she would put in her 2 weeks' notice at work, at which point Seacrest reminded her boss was in the crowd. Derevyanik said she is going to pay off her student loans and buy a house with the money. She also won trips to Japan and Montana before winning $1 million. In addition to all that, she received a hug from the iconic Vanna White. You cannot put a price tag on that. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A slight storm chance tonight, otherwise a partly cloudy sky and a low in the upper 50s. Mostly sunny and heating up into the mid-80s tomorrow. Sunny, breezy, and mid-80s again Saturday, and right around 80 Sunday, then cooler next week. Right now it's 80.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
We are delighted to be joined by the executive director of the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association. Grant Holly is here.
We account for about 67% of the country's cranberries. And then Wisconsin itself, because the cranberry originated here, makes a product that is really good for the environment. And as we're finding out more and more, it's really good for you. Boy, I sound like a commercial.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Chicago-based comedian Vince Moranto, who will make the popcorn pick of the week and tell us about an upcoming Wisconsin date, and my pal Madison-based film critic Rob Thomas.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining me. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, and I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show, and it is the second to last day of Civic Media's Go for the Green and Gold Multi-State Text to Win contest. You need to have the Civic Media app to get entered to win some of our great prizes. Each day we give away either $200 gold hard cash or gold jewelry, and we're going to give away one grand prize of two club-level indoor tickets to watch Green Bay play Minnesota on November 23rd. It's important because they're indoor seats. Yeah, around Thanksgiving time, that matters. On November 23rd, that's a noon start game. We're even going to give you a gas card to get there and back. That's a $1,500 plus value. So get that Civic Media app from wherever you get your apps from. It's free. And text in this word before the end of the hour. You've got until 6 o'clock to get this word texted in via the app. Cozy. C-O-Z-Y, cozy, as in Civic Media wants to keep you cozy while you're watching Green Bay football live in Green Bay. Good luck to one and all. Full contesting rules available at civicmedia.us. Some breaking news that is making Maggie, I'm going to talk about myself in the third person as if I work in the Trump administration, that is making me scratch my head. I literally cannot believe what my eyes are reading. The Trump administration has approved a new generic version of the mifepristone abortion pill, a decision made quietly by the Food and Drug Administration this week that is now prompting, big surprise here, uproar amongst anti-abortion leaders. This is reporting live right now by the Washington Post. Natalie Allison and Paige Winfield Cunningham, credit to them. The administration's approval on the drug on Tuesday comes less than 2 weeks after HHS Secretary RFK Jr. and FDA Commissioner Martin Makary said the department was conducting a review of the safety of the abortion pills. Weird, huh? Talk about talking out of both sides of your mouth as an administration. What is even going on? I can't make heads or tails of this, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see what is going on here, and we'll keep you posted on this news. It's truly, truly shocking. I want to talk about the lies that are being spewed literally every day by the Vice President Mike Johnson and all sorts of conservatives across the MAGA regime, Congress people, the Speaker, VP, President Trump, et cetera, et cetera. But I wanted to start with Donald Trump's many, many, many denials during his campaign in 2024 that he knew anything about Project 25 or that he had anything to do with it or had any intention of implementing it. Of course, footnote here. Everything that's in Project 2025 is what the Trump administration is doing. So, yes, he basically lied to the American people for the entirety of his campaign in 2024. But let's just refresh our collective recollections about Trump's denials of knowing or wanting anything to do with Project 2025. Take a listen.
Like some on the right, severe right, came up with this Project 25. And I don't even know. I mean, some of them, I know who they are. But they're very, very conservative, just like you have, they're sort of the opposite of the radical left, okay? You have the radical left and you have the radical right, and they come up with this, I don't know what the hell it is, it's Project 25. He's involved in Project, and then they read some of the things, and they are extreme. I mean, they're seriously extreme. But I don't know anything about it. I don't want to know anything about it.
And I have nothing to do, as you know, and as she knows better than anyone, I have nothing to do with Project 2025. That's out there. I haven't read it. I don't want to read it purposely. I'm not going to read it. This was a group of people that got together. They came up with some ideas, I guess some good, some bad. But it makes no difference. I have nothing to do.
They wrote a document that many of the points are fine. Many of the points are absolutely ridiculous. I have nothing to do with the document. I've never seen the document. I've seen certain things that are said in it.
I reprimanded the whole group. I said, you shouldn't have placed this document
in front of the voters because I have nothing to do with it and I'm the one that's running. You had no right to do this where you put a 1,000-page document in front, and many of those things I disagree with.
It's extreme right. I don't know. I don't know anything about it. Oh, wait. He knows something about it now, though. It might be extreme right then, but what it is now is just mainstream Trump administration MAGA policy. Here's Donald Trump posting this morning at 6:59 a.m. on Truth Social. I have a meeting today with Russ Vogt, he of Project 2025 fame. Oh, wait. You know who wrote it? Okay. To determine which of the many Democrat agencies he recommends to be cut and whether those cuts be temporary or permanent. I didn't know that there was such a thing as Democrat agencies in the federal government. Last time I checked, civil service and the federal agencies, other than the very top appointee levels, were supposed to be apolitical, nonpartisan, working on behalf of the American people. So he did know something about Project 2025. And if anybody is confused about who Russell Vogt is, let us again refresh our recollection. This is Russell Vogt in 2023 talking to a conservative PAC about exactly what the point of what eventually became Project 2025 really is. Take a listen.
We want the bureaucrats to be traumatically affected. We want, when they wake up in the morning, we want them to not want to go to work. Because they are increasingly viewed as the villains. We want their funding to be shut down so that the EPA can't do all of the rules against our energy industry because they have no bandwidth financially to do so. We want to put them in trauma.
Yeah. Yeah. That. Now, Representative Mike Lee got on Fox News and basically said this has been the plan all along. This is what it is about. Of course, it has always been not about making government efficient or working better or actually making it work for working Americans, but that it's always been about just breaking it. Take a listen.
This is what they're doing. They're doing it deliberately. It's going to harm them because Russ Vogt, the OMB director, has been dreaming about this moment, preparing this moment since puberty. Russ Vogt has a plan, and that plan is going to succeed in empowering, further empowering Trump. This is going to be the Democrats' worst nightmare, and it's of their own making.
Yes. Since puberty. All they want to do is fire scads of federal employees. Now, listen, here's another cut. This is one of the other Project 2025 authors admitting that it was written, obviously, for the second Trump administration. It's called Project 2025, for crying out loud. Kamala Harris wasn't going to put these policies in place. Take a listen to this.
When I suspect this project wouldn't exist if we didn't have the Trump administration, where you had a new maverick candidate who didn't have the machinery of the party necessarily like lining up and everybody from previous administrations helping out. And so you had,
and it goes on and on. This was always designed for Donald Trump. He lied to the American public during the campaign. And now what we're seeing are the fruits of this effort to break the federal government, to defund federal agencies, to what put federal workers in trauma. Make no mistake, you don't have to fire anybody during a shutdown. Not a single person. Not one. Here's J.D. Vance lying in front of the White House press corps yesterday, telling them that it's not about firing Democrats. Listen to this.
Yesterday, President Trump said, as a result of the shutdown, we'll be laying off a lot of people that are going to be very affected. And the Democrats, they are going to be Democrats. Has the administration asked agencies to target federal workers who they believe to be Democrats in these reductions of forces?
We're not targeting federal agencies based on politics. We're targeting the people's government so that as much as possible of the essential services can continue to function.
Okay.
That is the question.
You just heard the vice president say we're not targeting Democrats. Here's the president this morning. We're determining which Democrat agencies we're going to cut and close down and whether those cuts will be temporary or permanent. That's what the president wrote. Here's Donald Trump saying that they're targeting Democrats on Monday.
A lot of good can come down from shutdowns. We can get rid of a lot of things that we didn't want, and they'd be Democrat things.
We can do things during the shutdown that are irreversible, that are bad for them and irreversible by them, like cutting vast numbers of people out, cutting things that they like, cutting programs that they like.
When you shut it down, you have to do layoffs. So we'd be laying off a lot of people that are going to be very affected, and the Democrats, they're going to be Democrats.
Oh, my gosh. So this is where the lawyer in the room goes, so which one of you is lying? Is it the president or the vice president? Because one of you's lying. And here's Ted Cruz saying the quiet part out loud. Yeah, they're targeting Democrats, which is illegal, by the way. Take a listen to this.
Chuck Schumer and the Democrats force a shutdown, which they now have, that President Trump is going to use that as an opportunity not to tell people you're furloughed for a few days, but instead to send pink slips and to get rid of left-wing bureaucrats who are imposing left-wing priorities that are contrary to President Trump's priorities. I think that is fantastic.
Shame on you, Ted Cruz. Shame on you, Ted Cruz. Shame on you, Ted Cruz. Shame on you, President Trump. Shame on you, J.D. Vance. That is not what civil servants do. And every civil servant probably has a political opinion, but we all take an oath when we do those jobs to set our personal politics aside. That is what it should be. Obviously. And though everybody wants to blame Democrats who simply want Republicans to restore the ACA subsidies so that middle class families can afford the health insurance that they deserve in this country, remember what President Trump said about who's going to be responsible when there's a government shutdown. Cut 17.
Who's going to bear the brunt of the responsibility if indeed there is a shutdown of our government?
Well, if you say who gets fired, it always has to be the top. I mean, problems start from the top, and they have to get solved from the top. And the president's the leader, and he's got to get everybody in a room, and he's got to lead. You know, the interesting thing is in 25 years and 50 years and 100 years from now, when the government is, you know, they talk about the government shutdown, they're going to be talking about the president of the United States. Who was the president at that time? Mm-hmm. They're not going to be talking who the head of the House was, the head of the Senate, who's running things in Washington. So I really think the pressure is on the president.
Thank you very much, President Trump. So to be clear, everybody, the person that's responsible for the government shutdown is the president of the United States. And by the way, one of the groups of people that aren't getting paid right now include all of those 800 generals and the military. And if you wanted to know, do we have time to drop Charlie Kirk on our way out? Jacob, this would be cut 87. What Charlie Kirk thinks about how we should. Okay, I'll tell you what Charlie Kirk thinks about the military and what they get paid and how they're recruited. Remember, the military is not getting paid, and you have one guy to thank for it, according to himself, President Donald Trump, responsible for the shutdown. We continue to debunk the lies from the right when we come back right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay put.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Swing big at Big Fish Golf Club in Hayward, bringing you the Go for the Green and Gold text to win on WBZH, the Buzz of the North. Mention Big G and get $20 off your next round. Hurry, offer ends October 31st.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Derek Van Orden, over on our Facebook page, jumped into our comment section. Derek Van Orden can get as snooty as he wants with reporters. He can get as confrontational in comment sections. He can use all the cuss words that he wants. And he said 18 U.S. Code subsection 2331. Look it up. Well, we did. It doesn't cover social media posts that make a congressman get his fee-fees all hurt.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Ahoy, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wbzh.fm/contest-terms.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for the Midwest Farm Report with me, Pam Yonke. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, home of the Midwest Farm Report. Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 96.9 WBZH.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, where we work hard, especially my senior producer, Jamie, and my producer, Jacob, to bring you all of the breaking news sounds every day. I'm going to nominate Jacob for the MVP award this week amongst producers. He cut nearly 100 bits of sound for you and for me on this program. Thank you so much, Jacob. It is also the second to last day for Civic Media's Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. You're going to text this word in to be entered to win some great prizes, including two tickets to go see Green Bay versus Minnesota on November 23rd. You want to text it in via the app. The word to get entered to win this hour until 6 p.m. is cozy. C-O-Z-Y. Pete Schwabba with Nightlight is going to drop another word before the end of the day today in the 7 o'clock hour. So keep it locked on Civic Media all afternoon long. Wanted to get back to the Republican lies about the shutdown. Again, let's listen to Donald Trump explain who exactly is responsible when the government shuts down, shall we?
If there is a shutdown, I think it would be a tremendously negative mark on the President of the United States. He's the one that has to get people together. I hear the Democrats are going to be blamed and the Republicans are going to be blamed. I actually think the President would be blamed.
Well, if you say who gets fired...
Good to know. Thank you very much, sir. And I mentioned right before the break that one of the groups of people that doesn't get paid during a shutdown is the military. Since we've been talking about Charlie Kirk a wee bit on this program, I thought it might be helpful to perhaps remind or share with you what Charlie Kirk had to say about the benefits and pay of folks that are in the military. Listen to this.
So the military now exists as basically a social welfare program with missiles. Where people look at it, well, I can get a. The way that they recruit for the military now is like, look at all the perks and benefits, and it's like it's disgusting. Honestly, it's like if you're really going in there because you think you can get like a better home loan, like you're going in the military for the wrong reasons. Okay. And by the
way- wow. No respect for our military. None from our defense secretary. None from our president, and certainly none from Charlie Kirk. Also, Donald Trump has no idea that he needs actually 60 votes in the Senate to get a continuing resolution passed. This is him on Fox News just about a couple of weeks ago. Take a listen.
How does President Trump deal with the government?
Well, we have to get Republican votes. That's all. If we do, we have the majority. So we have to get.
But don't you have to get 60, don't you?
No, we're going to do a probably continuing resolution.
Oh, my gosh. What an idiot. The president doesn't know that he needs Democrats to get a CR passed. Maybe that's why Republicans aren't negotiating in good faith and lying to the American public every single day on national news programs without FCC Chairman Brendan Carr giving one whit of a care about it. Here's George Stephanopoulos talking again to liar Speaker of the House. I don't even want to call him. Let's just call him liar of the House, Mike Johnson, asking him again about what Democrats are actually asking for, the refunding, the restoration of the ACA subsidies. Again, according to federal law, and again, this is, if you don't know about it, it's Section 71109 of the Medicare Subpart B law that makes it illegal for anyone that's here illegally to get health care or ACA subsidies. Listen to Stephanopoulos and Johnson go back and forth.
The Democratic proposal is designed to prevent millions of Americans from losing their health insurance, losing Medicaid coverage, or paying higher health care premiums. Why are you against that?
That's an absurd statement, what you said there. Let's be clear about what happened last night, George. No, George, let me tell you what happened last night. Everybody can go and review the facts for themselves. 44 Senate Democrats voted to reject a clean, nonpartisan continuing funding resolution to keep the United States government open. The Democrats said instead that they wanted to give health care to illegal aliens instead of keeping critical services.
You absolute liar of the House. That is an absolute lie. Democrats have explained over and over again. They put it in writing to the president. The speaker, the liar of the House, knows this. What Democrats are asking for is the restoration of ACA subsidies so that people do not see their premiums go from $8,000 to $24,000, from $7,000 to $18,000 for a 55-year-old couple making $80,000 a year or more as a combined household income. How dare you? The Vice President of the United States doesn't know the difference between New York State health care and federal Medicaid and Medicare. He posted on his X account a link to the New York State of Health Department's health insurance. That is a completely separate health insurance program than the federal government. New York State has decided to provide health insurance to folks that are here undocumented. That is not the case under federal law. It is illegal. They all know this. They are lying and lying and lying. We deserve better. And by the way, the Hatch Act, it's this wee little bit of federal law that prevents folks working in government, in agencies, to engage in partisan politics, effectively campaigning and politicization of their frontline government work, okay? Go ahead and look it up, take a little read on it. And I just want to point out to you that, let's see, the Department of Justice website, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development website, the U.S. Department of Agriculture website, and the White House website all have references to radical left Democrats and the shutdown and all sorts of political speech. Again, the Hatch Act is the federal law that restricts partisan political activities of federal employees. Okay? It's illegal. By the way, the Hatch Act is supposed to be enforced by the Office of Special Counsel. It's meant to ensure that the federal government remains nonpartisan. Guess what Donald Trump did within the first 30 days of getting into office? Basically, defunded the Office of Special Counsel and forced out almost all of their lawyers. This is totally fine. Oh, as if that wasn't bad enough. The federal government has forced their workers, their out-of-office emails, to blame Democrats for the shutdown. But remember, Trump said, it's the president who's responsible. That's going to do it for me, folks. Have a great afternoon. Stay tuned for Pete Schwabba. Your word to win? Cozy. Get that text in via the app to get entered to win on our Go for the Green and Gold contest. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it's always better when we stand together for the truth.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The government shutdown could go into the weekend and beyond, with Democrats and Republicans blaming each other. Democrats say they won't agree to a stopgap measure until Medicaid funding is restored and health care subsidies are extended. Here's ABC's Jay O'Brien.
It remains to be seen ultimately where this kind of blame game lands. But right now, Democrats I talked to say they do believe they have the momentum, and certainly some acknowledge they are getting pressure from those in their base to demonstrate that they are putting up a fight even while they're in the minority, and they don't control the House, they don't control the Senate, and they've got Donald Trump in the White House.
The UK, two people are dead after a car ramming and knife attack today outside a synagogue in Manchester on the Jewish holiday of Yom Kippur. The suspect is dead, three others in custody. Sean Diddy Combs wrote a letter to the judge ahead of tomorrow's sentencing in New York City on prostitution-related charges. The music mogul apologizing to victims and asking the judge for mercy. He's facing years in prison. This is a